G-5, Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. 3, Dan said, opening his eyes after a blinding flash and seeing the welcome sight of home. His initial sight of the familiar wall, though, was nowhere near so welcome as the next one, Emma rushing in from his peripheral vision, Piper in arms, to greet the returning group. Facing the obvious questions that came from all angles about what had been happening on New Caer Galen, Tara took it upon herself to tell the broad group while Dan spoke privately to Emma. As Tara began a retelling of the general events, Dan quickly focused particularly on the help that Piper would imminently receive from Melly and her fellow doctors, readily accepting the logic that Piper would be okay being flash transported to a craft within Earth's atmosphere. Emma was smiling widely. She now knew it should only be a matter of minutes until Leisha got a call that the craft was ready. Then came the catch, with news about the level of unrest on New Caer Galen, how dangerously close the prospect of losing all contact now felt, and most unsettlingly of all, the choice that Dan had been given. He had only begun to explain this to Emma when he heard Clark loudly challenging something Tara had said. He missed what it was, but pulled Emma and Piper towards the main group and spoke up to silence Clark. "Everyone just listen, okay?" Dan said, speaking aloud in his excitement. "I'll tell you everything once, and Tara, chime in whenever you want. Wait, who are you? You look kind of familiar." Everyone turned to Chip as Dan belatedly noticed his presence.
"Chip Petrovich from high school," Clark said. "Long story, but he's cool. He knows everything and helped us out tonight."
Dan looked at Emma, got a nod, then shrugged and continued. The first interruption to his retelling came early and from Clark, as expected. It arrived at the part about a newly discovered Hall of Memories and a just as newly discovered Antarctic transcript, both referring to a backup world known as Sanctuary, intended for the messengers to use as an emergency refuge if need be. Dan hadn't yet presented the context, preferring to make the gate seem safe before revealing he was going to have to cross it, to save the group from the turmoil he and Tara had felt having learned everything in the reverse order. Clark's question was for Leisha, and simply asked why he hadn't shared any news about the Antarctic transcript during all the time he'd been there with the group a few hours earlier. Leisha's defense for keeping it from them was that the group as a whole had agreed to focus on different things, that Clark had very firmly told Timo not to call anyone in Birchwood until he got back in contact with the team at Fiori Frontieri for an update, and that the group had been busy dealing with Phil, so wouldn't have benefited from new knowledge, even if it was good news, that they couldn't act upon in any case. Tara's understandable questions of what thing with Phil and where is he anyway were dismissed as a topic for later, with Emma jumping in before things got too awkward or upsetting for any of the others. "Keep talking," she then encouraged. "Tell them the part about Piper, but I want to hear where the part about the gate is going to."
"Wait," William Godfrey spoke up, breaking a polite silence he had opted to keep given his position as something of an outsider. He knew he was there through circumstance rather than anyone's explicit choice, but his conscience wouldn't allow him to stay quiet.
"Emma, you've all gone to some considerable effort to make sure I don't hear the full details of this thing about Piper, but you're all talking out loud. So if my presence has slipped your minds..."
No one knew quite what to say.
"Wow," Clark uttered, almost an instinctive whisper.
Emma and Dan shared a glance of silent decision.
"There's something that the messengers alone can help her with," Emma said. "That's as much as you need to know, but thank you for speaking up."
Godfrey downplayed the intervention.
"Dan, as you were..."
"Right," Dan said, continuing aloud, carefully considering his next words because he knew they were going to shape Emma's reaction, rather than any longer being concerned about what Godfrey would hear.
"I'm grateful for everything the messengers have done for us so far, saving us from Il Diavolo, saving Clark's life in Buenos Aires, taking Piper's uplift powers away a few weeks ago as best they could. Their world is in chaos, but what I'm about to tell you isn't just about doing them a favor. The squadron weren't so much hostile as stubborn, and they gave us a choice in how we can deal with the unstable chaos on New Caer Galen. We can prove the gate is safe by going through it and coming back, or we can sit here at home while they destroy both gates and cut themselves off from us forever.
Emma ran her hand through the hair on the crest of her head and bit her lip. The two nervous ticks that only came out when she was truly concerned, and even then, typically only one or the other at any given time.
For any ongoing contact to be possible, Dan continued, which we could need for all kinds of reasons once we find out more about the architects at Dortolu Tepe, but especially to make sure the messengers can always keep an eye on Piper, we have no real choice other than to do whatever it takes to protect the gateway we've always known about, the one between Earth and New Kerguelen. That's literally the only way Leisha and Sacco can get here, and there's no reason to think either of our species are ever going to learn how to make gates like that, and definitely not in a time frame that would be useful if Piper ever needs more help.
Exactly,
Tara said, focusing on Clark, who naturally seemed least sure about the notion of both his younger brother and his girlfriend venturing to an unknown world through a gate which, as far as they knew, had never been tested.
It's a combination, Dan went on, also trying to ease Clark's mind. It's a combination of wanting to help them, needing to help them to help ourselves, and knowing it's safe to do it. Between the Antarctic transcript and the old writing in the Messenger's Hall of Memories, we know where this gate goes. We also know the world on the other side was not mentioned as an environmentally suitable refuge for the architects themselves, so we're not going to run into them.
William Godfrey sighed audibly, preparing to insert himself into the conversation.
Well, before anyone does anything rash, Leisha, is there no way to eliminate this squadron, or even just block their threatened plan of destroying the gates? You have impenetrable force field technology, and
it wouldn't stop the squadron's ray-based weaponry, or their warheads, Leisha said.
Hmm, Godfrey replied, rubbing his chin in thought and reluctant to accept defeat so easily. What if you go to this medicine ship and Piper is, well, cured? Why not just come home and let them do whatever they want to do? Even if they did destroy the gate, Piper would already be okay. Mission accomplished.
Even if they did destroy the gate? Dan echoed, scarcely believing what he was hearing coming out of the mouth of the chairman of the Interspace Contact Agency, of all people.
If they destroy the gate, there's no more contact, no more ICA job for you, but no more cooperation and no more of the potential benefits we've worked so hard to bring closer. That's what all of this has been about.
Godfrey shook his head.
If Piper wasn't a factor at all, can you tell me with a straight face that you would have agreed to do this? Because once she's cured, that factor is gone. And don't worry about my job. I can go back to London and take my old job back from Cole whenever the need arises. He shrugged. None of that matters, though. I know we haven't always seen eye to eye, but I don't want you to get hurt, Dan, especially needlessly. Our world doesn't need you getting hurt. If you're gone, there's no more contact, gate or not. You're the one the aliens trust, and you're the one the people trust.
And there is the reason the aliens trust him and not you, Leisha said, his words very pointed.
For his part, though, Dan appreciated Godfrey's intervention. He wouldn't pay it much heed, since he believed deep down that the gate was safe and since he knew he could never leave Leisha and Sacco at the mercy of the armed and impatient squadron if they were deemed to have knowingly assisted in a human-made deception plot, but he recognized the spirit it was intended in.
They've got Billy too, Henry McCarthy chimed in. No man left behind.
No one had a point to counter this. Even Clark, for the first time, sighed as reality truly sank in. It was happening. They were taking the leap.